Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
I hope we'll encourage you. Maybe this is your first time, or you recently started coming to church, or this is a new experience for you. I want to tell you, you're not here by accident tonight. And even on a prayer night, even on a night when we're going on our own, I want to tell you, God's word is ready to meet your need tonight. Tonight, I want to just take a few minutes and talk about our weaknesses. It gets quiet when you mention weaknesses, because we don't want to talk about our weakness. We spend our lives trying to cover up our weakness, don't we? I found a story. There was a job applicant who was asked in his interview, what would you consider to be your main strengths and weaknesses? How many have ever had that in a job interview? That's a hard question. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Well, he began, my main weakness would definitely be my issues with reality. Sometimes I have a little trouble telling what's real and what's not. Okay, said the interviewer, and what are your strengths? The applicant replied, I'm Batman. Amen. We have to be willing to be honest about our weaknesses, don't we? We have to look, and as we talk about spiritual things tonight, I wanted to get you laughing, but as we move on to spiritual things, we have to be willing and open before God to say that, yes, I have weaknesses. Amen. I'm willing to say it. I have weaknesses. How many of you out there would say, I have weakness? Amen. I'm talking about a couple of different weaknesses. You know, we all experience this throughout our lives. Every single person, maybe you're one here tonight, you'd say, nope, I don't have any. Let me tell you, you have weakness. And there's a couple quickly that I want to point out tonight. And the first type of weakness that I want to look at is sin. Sin is a weakness spiritually and in every way. You know, you might have come here tonight with the full intention of being in prayer and, oh, I'm going to spend time with God and I'm going to bring my needs before God and I'm going to bring all these burdens and all these things. But I'm here to tell you, we can't do anything until we allow God to deal with our sin. That's the first and foremost, and that's why I keep mentioning, if you're new to Christianity or you're new to coming to church, God, before he wants anything else, he wants to deal with your sin tonight. You know, when we continue to live a life that's sinful and we're doing things that we know are not right, God allows things to happen. Everyone who's saved here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Where you, and Pastor Paul mentioned it on Sunday, that the decisions that we make day in and day out, whether we realize it or not, it's bringing results in our life. There's consequences to the decisions that we make. And sometimes people say, God, why is this happening? They think God's punishing them, or they think that God is the reason. But you know what? Sometimes God allows things to happen. He allows the devil to attack, or he even allows the decisions that we make to kind of mess up our lives a little bit because he's trying to get our attention. Sometimes God is trying to grab your attention and say, hey, what you're doing right now is not where I want you to be. And you know what? Jerusalem, if you turn with me to Isaiah 22, Jerusalem here is in this exact position. God is trying to get their attention. They've done some things that are not pleasing to God. Many, many horrible things. And so in Isaiah 22 and verse 8, it says, Judah's defenses have been stripped away. You run to the armory for your weapons. You inspect the breaks in the walls of Jerusalem. You store up water in the lower pool. You survey the houses and tear some down for stone to strengthen the walls. Between the city walls, you build a reservoir for water from the old pool. What's happening here? He's talking about all these things that they're doing. Bible says, you know, Jerusalem is under judgment at this moment. And what's happening here is they are trying to fix things on their own. We just read about it. It says that they start building a reservoir around the city. They're pulling stones from their houses to rebuild that wall. And I'll get to that in just a second. It continues in verse 11. In verse 11, look at what God says. He says, but you never ask for help from the one who did all this. Think about that tonight. You never considered the one who planned this long ago. All that time, the Lord of heaven's armies, called you to weep and mourn. He called you to shave your heads in sorrow for your sins and to wear clothes of burlap to show your remorse. But instead, you dance and play. You slaughter cattle and kill sheep. You feast on meat and drink wine, and you say, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. In verse 14, it says, the Lord of heaven's armies has revealed this to me. Till the day you die, you will never be forgiven for this sin. That is the judgment of the Lord of heaven's armies. So God, you know, through the prophet Isaiah, God is making a plea to Jerusalem, and he's saying, you were trying all this time to fix these problems on your own, but you never called on me. The whole purpose of this, you know, the Bible says, was God was calling out to them and saying, you need to turn and you need to start to repent and get your life right with me. That was the purpose, but they never called on God. It's a dangerous place to be when we find ourselves in that weak place in sin, but we refuse to call on God. There's a couple things that we can take from this scripture, a couple of ways that we can respond to weakness, and neither of them are good, I'll tell you. The first one is what I mentioned already. They tried to fix it on their own. How many of us have made so many decisions throughout our lives where we find a problem, we find a sin in our lives? There's a habit. There's an addiction. There's something that we're struggling with, and we just try and fix it on our own. It happens all the time. At the end of this year, the beginning of 2022, so many people are going to start trying to fix things on their own. New Year's resolution, which are, that's not saying that's a bad thing, but people are trying to find solutions. Or they medicate themselves with drugs and alcohol, or they're going from person to person looking for some way on their own to fix those problems. Then there's a second way that people deal with weakness. And it's said in that scripture, they basically said, well, if we're going to die, let's eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we'll die. Sometimes people just put their head in the sand, and instead of dealing with their sin, dealing with the things that they know are tearing them down, they just say, well, so be it. As pastor would say, que sera, sera, you know, whatever may be, may be. You know, Rich was showing me a while back, Rich Stockard showed me this article of a musical artist who said, I'd rather lead in hell than be a servant in heaven. That's scary. That guy's in big trouble for what he said, amen? But that's the attitude that so many people in the world, maybe they wouldn't outwardly say it, but the fact is they would rather just continue to delve into their sin instead of allowing God to fix it and allowing God in, amen? But the problem is neither of these ways work. They're powerless. How many can say, I know from experience, they're powerless, amen? They're powerless. But giving your life to God, and if you're not saved, I'm not talking about if you've been coming to church for a while or not. If your life is not right with God, I'm here to tell you God is the way. God is the answer. And maybe you've heard before, well, yeah, God died for my sins. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But why? Why is it that that works? It's because of what he did on the cross. And we need to hear and understand in our hearts what he really did when he went to the cross. It says in Colossians, if you'll turn over with me to Colossians chapter 2, if you have a physical Bible or you have it on your phone, you should turn here and mark this. This is a powerful set of scriptures right here. We're going to look at exactly what happened when Jesus died on the cross. Colossians chapter 2, and starting in verse 10. It says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. If I just pause right there, that is the only way you're going to be made complete tonight. That's the only way that you're going to walk out of this place, and instead of living in weakness and dealing with sin and the same sin that you've already been dealing with, the only hope is for a union with Christ, a partnership with him. It says he is the head over every ruler and authority. If you skip down in verse 13, Just listen to this scripture. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. Hallelujah. For he forgave all our sins. Look at what he did in verse 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That scripture says two specific things that Jesus did with our sins, with our weaknesses, with the things that you're struggling with tonight. First, it says he canceled the record. Praise God. Amen. Can you imagine having your record completely expunged? I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Amen. Some of you, that would be a big miracle. Amen. For all of us, having everything you've ever done wiped clean. But even maybe even better is it says he took it away. What's the key to us not walking out of this place and continuing to live in the same sin and the same habits, the same addictions that are destroying our lives? When you give your life to God, it says he takes it away. It's not yours anymore. You're not burdened with it anymore. That's why the power of Jesus works. Amen. Because it's not in our own strength. It's in what God did. You know, all of humanity is dealing with the same sin problem. It might be different for you as opposed to this person, as opposed to me, but at the end of the day, we're dealing with a sin problem. All of us. Amen. And many people are trying to get through it on our own, but the reason that's insane is because Jesus already took care of it on the cross. The price has already been paid. Amen. You may be here tonight, and I'm here to tell you, if you're not saved, it's time to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to stop battling habits and addictions and sin on your own. Tonight is the night of salvation for you. And in just a few minutes, we're going to pray, and there's opportunity for you. You know, all that God asks, as I mentioned in that offering, all that God asks is for you to give him your heart, to give him your love, to say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm putting this weakness on the cross, and I'm asking you to help me. Amen? That's what we're called to do. But there's a second type of weakness for just a moment that I want to touch on tonight. And this kind of weakness is experienced by people that are living for Christ. Many of you here, you know, I pray and I hope that you're living for God, that you have a desire. You're here tonight on a Wednesday night because you made a decision and said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You're here and you have some things you want to pray and you want to get before God about. But, you know, all of us that are saved, sometimes we feel weak, spiritually weak. Bible says we're leaky vessels. Amen. One day you're on a mountaintop and it feels like, man, my life is awesome. And then you get drained. Maybe you serve in a ministry. You're witnessing. You're doing everything you know to do. And you just feel spiritually weak. It happens. It happens to the best of us. Look at how Paul was feeling in 2 Corinthians. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. This man had all kinds of disciples planting churches. He was an apostle. He did amazing things. A lot of the Bible talks about Paul or is written by Paul. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. I can just hear the desperation in that scripture. Here is this holy man of God. He says that there's this thorn, this annoying, tormenting spirit or whatever it was that was tormenting Paul. And he said, I pleaded with God over and over and over again. God, would you set me free from this? He was feeling weak. He was saying, I can't deal with this on my own. I can't. I want to serve God, but I'm dealing with this thing. I mean, if we look at this scripture, does this mean that God wants us to be weak? God wants us to be feeling low and downtrodden and discouraged, ineffectual? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. What it means is when Satan attacks, when Satan's tormenting you, God wants us to rely on the grace and the power that he promises. Amen. The grace and power he promises. I want to show you this promise in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That means you don't need anything else. It's sufficient. It meets every need. Amen. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. Look at this. This is a crazy scripture. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I don't know about you, it's not very often that I delight in those things. I don't get excited when I'm going through some hard stuff. But it says he delights in it. Why? Because when I am weak, then I'm strong. That is such a, it doesn't make sense if you don't understand God's word. What do you mean when I'm weak, I'm strong? No, when I'm weak, I'm weak. I need strength, right? And some of us here tonight, you'd say, I am weak and I don't feel strong. But you know what he's saying here is there are times when we feel spiritually weak, but we call on God and we put our faith in God instead of doing what that first scripture we read says and trying to fix things on our own or just burying our head and say, well, I guess God gave up on me. We push through that weakness and we call on God's power. That's what we're here to do tonight. In just a moment, we're going to get down on our knees and through our weakness, we're going to call on the power of God. And in that scripture, he promises that his grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you're here and you feel spiritually weak tonight, you're in position for God to use you. You're in position for God to show his strength through your weakness. 1 Corinthians, and as I close, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27 says, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. How do we do that? I want to do that. I want to put to shame this world and live for God and go beyond what I believe is capable God can do in my life. But how can we do that? We keep fighting. That's the key. Amen. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're feeling weak or you're feeling like there's no hope or you have nothing left to give. Push through it. Amen. Call on God even when you don't feel like it. It's like a marathon runner. You know, they're running and they're running and maybe they get halfway or they're not quite to the end and all their body is crying out for them to quit and they keep pushing. And you hear these marathon runners talk about that second wind or that runner's high or whatever it is that somehow it just pushes them through. Amen. Some of you tonight, God's going to bless you and strengthen you because of your weakness, because tonight we're going to push through in prayer. Amen. And so I want to encourage you tonight, when you begin to pray, pray through your weakness. You feel weak. You feel like you can barely get those words out. Get the words out. Amen. Hudson Taylor, who is the founder of the China Inland Mission, knew the secret of strength. His friend complimented him on the impact of his mission, and Hudson answered thusly, it seems to me that God looked over the whole world in order to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, he is weak enough. He'll do. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them. That's the key tonight. We're not fighting through because we're spiritual giants on our own and we have this great ability. We're saying, God, I need your strength and that is what I'm trusting in. Amen. And he partners his strength with your willingness. And that's where God moves. Amen. So tonight as we pray, don't think God is sick of hearing from you. Or sick of you asking for help. Don't think, you know, I'm not enough because we're made complete through Christ. Amen. Don't think I'm too weak because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Don't think I have too much sin because that scripture says he cancels it and he takes it away. Amen. God's ready to be made strong through our weakness tonight. Would you just stand with me for just a moment? And with no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight, I believe that no matter how we came in feeling tonight, God's ready to strengthen you. And if you're willing to put your trust in him, he'll strengthen you. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get you in the right place with him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't really know what I'm talking about of having this relationship with Jesus. You've never experienced any kind of desire for the things of God. To you, maybe coming to church was just some religious thing, but I believe tonight the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. And for whatever reason, you're feeling conviction. You're beginning to see, you know what? I have been trying to do it on my own. There is sin in my life. I want to tell you, we're not here to condemn you. We're here to bring you hope tonight. The gospel is a gospel of hope. And the first weakness that God deals with is that sin in your heart. We can't do it, but God can because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if that's you tonight, you're not saved. You'd say, I know my relationship with God is not right, but I want to give him my heart and I want to get that right with God tonight. All over this place, would you just quickly put your hand up and put it right back down? Amen. I see these hands. Praise God. Lots of hands. Amen. We're just admitting tonight our weakness and saying, but we're inviting God in to take care of that. If that's you, you want to join these that are praying, quickly lift your hand and put it right back down. You're signifying, God, I'm putting my faith in your hands tonight. Amen. I see lots of hands. Praise God. Amen. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to take some time together and pray. But I want to invite all of you that lifted your hands for salvation. Would you just take a step of faith and come down to this altar? We've got some people, prayer team, that wants to pray with you. That it would be our honor. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap for these souls. Amen. If you lifted your hand, don't be afraid. Just make your way down tonight. Amen. His grace is sufficient for that sin. Praise God. Amen. I also want to invite everyone in here. I'm assuming that means everybody else is saved. It's not too late to come to this altar, but amen. If you're saved tonight, maybe you came in and you're dealing with a weakness in your spirit. I want to tell you, God is the answer. And His power, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. So we're going to get before God and just begin to pray in faith and ask God for strength for whatever your need is. You can come down to these altars. You can pray down there at your seats. You can walk around if you need to. Let's take some time. Let's not talk with the people next to us or around us. Let's begin to make time to talk to God. Amen. And then at the end, in just a little bit here, we're going to get together and we'll close this service. If you raised your hand for salvation, you want somebody to pray with you, we've got a team down here that'll do that as well.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it and share it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach, and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.